Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Oh, all right. And welcome to the last episode of our series of how sexual trauma affects all the areas of your life. And today's episode is all the other areas of your life that I haven't covered. Okay. So we're going to talk about a couple of different things that, you know, and there might be other areas that it's showing up for you that I haven't covered. And please reach out to me and send me a message if there's like one that I've forgotten, or just, you know, like, again, there's just so much. So if there's like, and you really are like, okay, well, how do I deal with this and how do I handle this? And I haven't covered it in the series and I haven't covered it in here, please reach out to me. And again, I'm going to just remind you, the best way to get a hold of me right now, because I'm in the middle of moving, is to just send me an email, gaia@succulentliving.com. Okay. All right. So sexual trauma interference, let's talk about sleep. I laugh because this topic on sleep could have been a whole episode on its own. So anyways, okay, so sleep. So depending on where your trauma happened, when your trauma happened, how old you were when you were traumatized, did it happen at night? Did it happen in your room? Did it happen when you were visiting somebody else at night? So sleep, has your sleep been interfered by that trauma? So there's two ways often that it will affect your sleep. One, nightmares of the experience happening, and your brain, your subconscious is trying to like create a new scenario in your brain, and you're like having a night terror, nightmares, and that's interfering in your ability to sleep. Okay. But if you, for example, okay, so for example, I have issues with sleep because mine happen mostly at night. Majority of my trauma, most of my sexual abuse happened at night, in the middle of the night. Somebody coming in to the room where I was sleeping. And so that's one aspect. And then I'm sharing this because it also affects my ability to travel. It's like a secondary piece, is because it never happened at my house. It happened when I visited relatives or I visited other places. Okay. So again, it's complex, right? So basically I don't really have deep sleep. I fall asleep. I very rarely am I dropped into like deep REM sleep. Every sound wakes me up. You know, if movement's happening in the middle of the night, I'm like, what's that? I'm like fully, like I'm almost like always just in this like slow grade, like resting state, but I don't have, very rarely do I have deep REM sleep. And this is because even though I've done all this healing and all this work and, you know, all sorts of stuff, my subconscious is like, we are on guard. We are on guard. Because nighttime wasn't safe. So I would say I tend to have the best sleep during the day, when I'm like, when it's daytime, or like first thing early in the morning, after the sun has come up, is usually when I sleep the best. So that means I have to do a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff I have to do to overcome my sleep issues. One, I have to acknowledge it, and not blame everybody. Other people need to be able to live, walk around, go to the bathroom, do stuff. That's important. Two, you know, I find that if I, you know, I have like white noise that can just, you know, kind of like my body's like, okay, this sound. And if there's anything extra on top of this, then we're aware. I've done a lot of work about, you know, before I go to bed, setting up everybody like internally, you know, in my subconscious, okay, tuck everybody into their safe little sanctuary. And then I'm going to tuck me into the safe little sanctuary. And then I have my music playing. And, you know, I have a dog, which I do have a big dog. So, you know, if we were really under attack, you know, he would wake me up. So that I can get a little more sleep. But taking drugs, so this is what why this doesn't, you know, like again, I'm just talking about me right now and my sleep pattern, and you can figure out within what I'm sharing with you, how does this affect you of like safety, what safety protocols that you need, that you subconsciously already put into place. And when they're breached, it's really devastating for you. It's probably because of this aspect of the violation that happened if you were sleeping. Okay. So I don't do really well with people staying over at my house that are, you know, like I need to integrate with them. You know, and know that, you know, okay, that these are their sounds and this is what their movements are. And like there's stuff in order for my nervous system to settle enough to even allow me to have the little bit of rest sleep that I get. You know, often people are like, how's your sleep? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who these people, all these people that get like lots of sleep. I've never had that. So I think that must be lovely. I can't even imagine what I would have accomplished if I had quality sleep in my life. So maybe down the road that might be the next thing that, you know, we continue to work on. But anyway, so I can't take sleeping pills because then my body goes into panic because we feel out of control and then we can't keep ourselves safe. And again, this is just the truth, right? This is the truth. Again, it is what it is, you know. I don't sleep with other people in my bed. You know, I used to when I was younger because I thought that's what you had to do. And then I was like, wait, I could somebody else, I can love them and we can snuggle and then they can go to their bed in their bedroom. I can have my bed, my bedroom. And it's amazing. I get a little bit more rest sleep. So, yes. So, for other people, sleep might be that they have to lock their door when they go to bed so that no one can come into the room. It might be that their bedroom is not a, it doesn't feel like a safe place at all. That you're locked in so that you can feel safe. You know, how you sleep, like some people have to sleep with lots of clothes on and many, many blankets on. I by nature am a nudist, so I don't really like clothes at all. So I feel actually it creates more panic to put me in like I got a top sheet and a bed, blanket, and I'm wearing pajamas. I feel like in the middle of the night, I feel claustrophobic, like I can't breathe. feels panicky. Like it feels like constrictive and panicky for me. But I know other people are the opposite. They're like, being naked feels too vulnerable, and so they want to be protected. It's like a protective armor. Some people, when they sleep, they can't sleep on their back. They can only sleep on their stomach. They can only sleep on their side. Like there's different body, like there's different positions. Like is the only way that you can be in that position. So sleep's a big one. Okay. And again, especially if you were violated during sleeping time. Eating is another area in which we want to feel if we feel like are powerless. So, like eating disorders can happen from sexual trauma because it's the only way that we feel like we have control of our bodies about what we put into it, when we put into it, how we put into it, what we eat, what we don't eat. And then if sexual abuse trauma happened, and there was like cooking or food or something involved, that will definitely play into your eating patterns, your eating habits, what feels safe to eat, what's like absolutely the smells. If the your part if the perpetrator smelt like something, so like beer or alcohol or bananas or fish or some kind of food. Anytime you smell that food, you may be like feel nauseous and turned off and triggered, and you might have a very violent reaction to food smells and textures and all of those things if there's something that's been associated with it. Again, so sometimes association because of the experience, and others because you felt you have your power was taken from you, so this is a way in which you can feel like you have control. Right? We talked about sleeping and the control that we need to have in order to feel safe enough to sleep. It's like often control shows up as a defense mechanism when we have been feel powerless, and we tend to go over the top in control versus just setting parameters and boundaries for things we need, but we go into like full-blown danger, will rob, like full panic, or we're moving from a panic place versus just like, hey, I need this, can we do this, versus like, this has to happen or it's not okay. And if you're feeling this has to happen, it's not okay, it's because it's trauma related. You may not understand it yet, you may not remember why there, but it's definitely a trauma response. When it's like, it has to be this way or it's not okay. The minute we're like, it's not okay, that's your panic of feeling unsafe. And there's a reason in that. Traveling, right? So I talked to you about, I shared with that I never was abused in my home. I was always abused at other people's homes or at other people's places. And so when I leave, so I've had to do a lot of work to prevent myself from to be able to like travel the world, to go to a hotel, to stay over at other people's houses, to visit people. Like I get, there's a whole series of things that I need to put into place so that I can do it. And I've done a lot of healing and a lot of therapy and a lot of work and a lot of NLP and cognitive reprogramming and all sorts of stuff so that I don't vomit all night long. Vomit on my way there, vomit all night in the first night that I'm there. I've had to do a lot of work, but it's worth it. And, you know, I'm on the other side of that. But again, that was a big, that for me, travel was a big thing. As much as I'm adventurous and I just love the world and I love adventure and I love going off the beaten path, trauma robbed me from the joy of the adventure of travel. Not the getting to, you know, once I'm there, I'm like, ah, this is amazing. I'm fine. And coming home, it's totally fine. But that getting ready, packing, leaving the house, all of that stuff was affected, was stolen from me. Right? So if again, if you're depending on where your abuse happened, when it happened, and where it, you know, how old you were and when and all that kind of stuff, it can affect these other things that you wouldn't think it would affect. PDA. right? Public displays of affection. You know, it goes in line with the whole intimacy and the whole connection. For me, being knowing, you know, one of the ways in which my predators, that's what I call them, predators, my predators would try to get me to be accommodating by threatening to murder the people that I loved. And so the idea of me ever allowing anybody to know who I loved kept them safe and then kept me safe. So then if somebody were to try to abuse me, they wouldn't know who I love. So they couldn't use that to try to get me to accommodate them. I was like, it was like my defense mechanism was like, we are never going to be vulnerable like that from that aspect again. So if no one knows who I love, then no one will be able to use that. So I can fight back and I'm not worried about that. It's only my life that's on the line and not anybody that life that I love. And so I didn't realize that. It took me years to figure that out, but I was just like, I don't do PDA. Stop trying to hold my hand. I try to hold my hand all the time. Public. Stop it. That's gross. Leave me alone. Stop it. No, don't kiss me. We're in public. Why are you trying to kiss and make out with me? No, ew, stop that. Like I didn't, I just felt that way. It just felt like, was like, ew, no, don't do that. I didn't know why. It was more than, ew, gross, don't do that. It was because I was trying to keep them safe and trying to keep myself safe in case anybody tried to kidnap me or anything where it ever happened to me again, that could never be used against me again. And so, as you can see, it's very complex. So if there's behaviors, so the big takeaway that I want for you from this episode is that if there is something that you're like, it just has to be done like that, or it's not okay, is a number one indicator that this is something that's trauma-based that you may want to reclaim or heal or look at or, you know, move with it in a different way. If you're like, oh, yeah, no, ew. If you feel that where your face starts making facial expressions and your tongue, bleh, and your whole shoulders kind of come up and you're wigged out. That's probably also usually an indicator that there's some kind of trauma-based reaction going on here. That you, now, that being said, being aware of it doesn't mean you have to change it. If you find that it's working fine for you, then it can work fine for you. If you're like, hey, I feel like for me personally, I'm like, fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. All right, fine. Let's hold hands. Because I'm not going to move from fear. Fuck them. Fuck that shit. No, I'm not moving from fear. I'm not letting nobody gets to steal anything from me. If I choose that I don't want to do that because I genuinely don't, it's not my thing, or I don't want to do that, that's different than because it's a trauma response. So that's my personal, that's my own personal life mission. I'm not saying you have to be that, but for me, that is it. If I know that my behavior is trauma produced, I'm like, okay, I need to course correct that because I don't want to move from a place of reaction. I have created a life that is filled with inner tranquility and inner peace and safety. So that means that I'm safe all the time, no matter what's going on, and that's my foundation. Okay, this is my contract with me, is that trauma doesn't get to control my life. That ex those experiences don't get to rob me of living the life that I want to live. And that's, again, that's my personal journey. That's almost like a, that's my fuck you defiance of what ended up happening. It's like me taking my power back. So every time there's some part of me, or I'm like, oh, that has to happen like this. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So let's look at that. Let's reprogram that. Let's do use all of our tools. Let's take that back. But I'm gonna say this, that's me, and I'm pretty hardcore. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission of defiance. That doesn't have to be you. But what I would suggest is for you to look at it and say, like, is this serving me? Is this serving my relationships with people? Is this creating disharmony within myself? Is this creating illness within my body? Is this creating distress within my relationships, within my ability to parent, and with my partners, and with my coworkers, and with my friends, and with my family members that are safe to be family members? And like, how is this affecting my life? Do I not leave the house, or am I like leaving the house? Is it affecting my ability to go be fearless and explore the world because I want to be explore because it's my nature to explore, and it's interfering with that? Then heal it. If you're like, I'm not a risk taker and an explorer, and that's not how I move in the world, then that might be something that you're just aware of. Okay, like, all right, so I'm not a big adventurer because that's not my nature, but I can go visit a friend and stay overnight, or I would like to be able to go visit a friend or stay overnight, or I may want to go to an exhibition of some sort, or I may want to do something, and I need to figure out ways to move through the things that are preventing me from doing that. So you may want to be like, I just need to be able to manage it to fuck that shit. It's going. There's differing degrees. Okay. And wherever you're at is perfect. Okay. So those are the big other areas, sleeping, traveling, public place affection. Oh, actually, one more that I didn't talk about is like, if it happened at a party, if there's alcohol involved, or you were at a nightclub. So happening more like, when you're in college or teenager, then that will also affect how you like how comfortable, how safe you feel when alcohol's involved or crowds are involved or loud music or at a club or at a party. You may want to not go to parties. You may like, oh, they're just boring and I don't like them. But if you had trauma there, then it could prevent you from being in social interactions and social gatherings, especially if there's alcohol involved. And as an adult, there's often alcohol, unless you're in a very specific environment where it's like no alcohol is involved. Most of social activities involving adults have alcohol attached to them. So if alcohol was involved, while your trauma happened, you may have stuff around alcohol, the smell of alcohol. Like there might be some triggers there, which, again, you can go from, hey, how do I manage this? Because I really want to go to this company Christmas party. How do I just get through this night? To, I want to be, I want to end up being a go-go dancer at my favorite club. How do I handle it? So like there's varying degrees of how to handle that, which again is why you need your that's when you need your professionals, your trained, trauma trained people, okay? So that they can help you figure out what works best for you and how to navigate, how to manage to from again, how to just manage to say fuck that shit and like conquer it completely. Okay? Until I'm here, remember, send me an email. It's the best way to go hold me right now, gaia@succulentliving.com. If you want more, dive deeper into the work that I do, especially the trauma work that I do, You can go to guymorissette.com. Go into, there's like a whole bunch of little boxes, and they're like pathways to all the ways that I show up in the world. And so I recommend that you go into the healing trauma, stay on that path, don't deviate from that path for a while until we get you some tools. Okay. You can even visit the sexual wellness, right? But please, for your well-being, stay out of the BDSM part of the work that I do in the world. Okay. That's just too much. That might be victimizing, traumatizing, all sorts of things. So, that can be goals down the path, down the way, to be like, I want to be able to, swing from the chandeliers and, explore some of the wild side of, kink and sexual exploration. But it's just not start there. Okay. Start with gentle, loving, safe space. That's why I created it. All right. Before, I used to have all of it together. Now I've created these beautiful pathways so that you can be where you need to be, and that I can show up for you the way that you need me to show up for you and meet you where you're at. Okay. All right. All right. Bye-bye. Good job.